Another day, another task, think fast with a whole nother mission complete.
Successful-ish.
Pick up the weight, press on, and act on the visions I see.
I'm successful-ish.
Sit back and bask in the glory of all the goals I achieve.
Successful-ish.
Lose a stack, get it back, reinvest, hope with, then I roll up my sleeve.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Successful-ish. I'm Sarah Michelle. And today on the podcast, I am so excited to talk to James Jackson. And I am going to warn you right now that this is going to make you want to pack your suitcase and go somewhere pretty. James Jackson is 26 years old and behind the handle of At Wondering Weights on Instagram. He is from Rochester, New York, and went to school at Slippery Rock University near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and has many of his friends still located in the area. For the past couple years, he's been traveling around the country while working remotely, making it a point to visit every U.S. national park. He is passionate about health and wellness and loves going to the gym, hiking, and just being active in any way that he can. And I first came across this Wondering Weights Instagram account just sort of scrolling on a weeknight. And I will warn you, once you start following, you are going to want to travel and maybe even want to do a burpee or two. So, James, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. This is such an honor.
Yeah, of course. So before we jump in, because I want to hear all about your travels and how that happened, but what is something that you failed at this week?
In the spirit of just my whole persona of being a fitness guy and all that stuff. So I was going for a PR in the gym this week on bench press, and I failed miserably. That
personal record for those of us who are not gym rats? Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Me knowing the vernacular.
Yeah, you know, got this. So yeah, tried to hit a PR on bench this week. Didn't you know, necessarily get it, but at the end of the day, I kind of just like doing that, like failing at something like that, because you know, you're still putting that pressure on your body and kind of like preparing you for the next time that you want to throw on, you know, such a heavy weight for the next time. So yeah, that was something I failed at. But again, hopefully next time will go a little bit better.
Always better with practice. I would love to hear a little bit just about your story. Like, how did you get where you are today? How did you become Wondering Weights?
Yeah, for sure. So I think I can give you three personal anecdotes that have kind of gotten me to where I am and just overall, you know, the purpose of our discussion here today. And I would say the theme is definitely going to be resiliency. So I'll start with the first one. And this is going to be back when I was a freshman in college. So I guess way back in 2015. So back then, I did not necessarily care about health, wellness, anything like that. Certainly as, you know, a dumb college kid, you know, out partying, you know, doing things like that. Where my health journey started is that I actually got into a little bit of trouble in that college setting. So the campus I went to was a dry one, and just got in trouble for underage drinking. Imagine that. So I laugh at this now. I think it's the funniest thing. But at the time, I was just so unbelievably distraught from just getting in trouble like that, because I've never really gotten in trouble before. I'm, you know, somebody who's and I just followed the rules pretty well. But I was pretty upset by this. And it's funny because when that happened, the first thing that my mind went to was, I need to start taking care of myself. I need to start going to the gym, you know, eating right, all of that. So I did. That's exactly what I did. So I took, you know, a negative opportunity like that and just pushed it into something that turned out to probably be one of the best things that's ever come out of, you know, my life up to this point. So, I mean, that was what, 8 years ago. I've been going to the gym consistently since then and doing everything I can to just, you know, maintain a healthy lifestyle. So, you know, a negative turned into a positive there. So that's where my fitness journey started. The next one that I'll give is kind of work related. So fast forward a few years, and this would have been, you know, a year or two after graduating, So maybe 2020 or 2021, around there, I found myself in a position that was less than ideal. I absolutely hated it. And for a little bit more context, I studied healthcare administration. I found myself in a position essentially as a healthcare recruiter. But the company and the job, again, was just not something I was too keen on. So I worked long hours. I even worked on weekends. There was on-call duties that I had to perform. So I just got so burnt out from this job. And I remember being home with my family on the 4th of July, and I actually had to work that day being on call and just breaking down, essentially, because I was, you know, working on a holiday. And I took a lot of verbal abuse from the job, just from like a service standpoint too. So it was really frustrating. It was not where I wanted to be in life by any stretch. So, you know, took the opportunity to just put my head down and just go into a job search. Certainly a long process through interviews and, you know, all the applications. It's essentially just another job trying to look for another job. So it was certainly a bit of a struggle. But I ultimately landed a position, and it's the one I'm currently in now, which has just been such a blessing. Similar role, healthcare recruiter, but the flexibility and just the work that I do is unmatched. So I'm in a role that is remote. I make my own schedule. I have unlimited time off, which is just amazing compared to what I was used to. And that will kind of lead into the conversation here in a little bit in terms of the travel piece of things. But that last story or anecdote that I wanted to share with you was that, and I get for context here, I used to live in Pittsburgh. That's where most of my friends are. So lived there and, you know, with a few friends and kind of just kind of progressed after that in the role. But I was unfortunately in a car accident. And this would have been a few years ago, probably 2022. So I was in a car full of my friends, and the accident was my fault. So I was kicking myself for a very long time at that. So again, very, very negative experience. I was pretty down on myself. But at the end of the day, everybody was okay. Nobody was harmed. And things kind of actually turned out pretty well. So out of the situation, I got a new car. And I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome. And then also, like, while these events were going on too, I was coming to an end on my lease with the friends. So they had girlfriends, new jobs. So our time was kind of like ending, if you will. So I was just kind of like, I don't know what to do. But I eventually came to the conclusion, I have this new car. I have nothing really tying me down. So maybe I should just go someplace and travel. And that's exactly what I did. And a couple months later, I, you know, started driving out west to California and started my ventures of visiting all of these national parks. And I can't really determine like what sparked me to do that. I just, you know, had the urge to do it and just jumped because, you know, I didn't have that responsibility.
I also went to school on a dry campus, and one of my favorite moments that happened on that campus, I had a good friend who was outraged because he had snuck down in the dorm in the middle of the night and took a swig of a roommate's orange juice that turned out was not orange juice. And so he ratted him out, which he shouldn't have done, but he did. He ratted him out. And then the roommate with the orange juice turned it back around and got my friend in trouble for stealing because it wasn't his orange juice. And so my friend was super upset that he now had this demerit for stealing on his name. And I'm like, well, shouldn't have stolen.
Talk about like a switch.
One of my favorite anecdotes. And then they had a very awkward, like, let's not talk to each other relationship the entire semester that they lived together.
Typical college drama.
Yes. All the good times. So I'm curious, what was your very first, like the first trip that you took that you posted pictures of? Like, when did Wandering Weights start? When was that inspired? What was the first one?
So pretty recently, actually. So I started, what is it now? Now it's December 2023. I started it probably July of 2023. But I had been traveling.
What, like 18,000 followers or some crazy thing?
I got pretty lucky. Whatever the algorithm is just kind of threw me a bone. So I got pretty lucky there. But I had been traveling a lot prior to that. And I guess the inspiration behind it was like my friends were saying, like, you're doing all of these things, like you should document it of some sort, because I really wasn't beforehand. Like, obviously, I was taking pictures of some of the places I was visiting, but like didn't really have anything behind it. Like, I wasn't taking videos, didn't, like, you know, have any sort of blog at the time. But I finally got around to it and started from scratch over the summertime and have started to see some success from it.
Yeah, it was all over. So I don't know how the Instagram algorithm works, but I definitely was getting all the videos. And I think that maybe that's like my secret of what I need to change. I need to start like taking my shirt off in pretty places. I think that's the Instagram algorithm.
It could have been.
But it's so, what I love about it is that it's so connected to not just traveling for the sake of traveling, or, you know, I tend to bypass any of the fitness feeds. There's so many of just people who are just growing out and like, good for you, but I don't want to watch. Like, I don't.
Trust me, I'm with you.
I'm very against the trend of video cameras in the gym. It makes me very self-conscious because I am not a pretty workout person. I'm not that person
who
shows up in the sports bra with like the one sexy drop of sweat. Like, I look like I'm working out. That is not when I want to be on the internet for the world. And it's so awkward. And what I love about the way that you do your account is that it is kind of mixed in with the thoughts that you have. There's something about being in nature or working on health that makes you really think about the life you're living. It makes you think about the bigger picture. And you're able to do that in a way that is very succinct. So I'm curious, like, what is your thought process when you're traveling? Like, where does your inspiration for these different quotes and ideas come from? And kind of what's your headspace when you're in these places?
Yeah, for sure. First, I'll say that I'm totally with you. I'm not one to film myself really in the gym. It's awkward for one. There's just a lot of people around. Yeah, nobody really cares about like just another fitness account too. Like, I've come to notice that to an extent. But in terms of, you know, where I'm at when I tend to do these outdoor workouts, I've stumbled across a philosophy, stoicism. And it's basically like, you know, you work for what you get, you know, you are just trying to be the best person of yourself that you can be. And a lot of it does tie into nature too. Like, I think a lot of the Stoics, you know, have a deeper connection with just being outside and being in nature. And it's just kind of allowed me to, you know, just connect with the earth and also just do something that I like doing. I absolutely love, you know, strength training and being active, but being in these cool places, just, I don't know, there's a deeper connection for sure with just, you know, myself and being in a serene location, fully alone and having some peace. So it's just really calming to have those types of experiences. And it's just great to be out in, you know, these awesome locations.
Yeah. How have your trips changed or evolved since that first one? Like, now that there's a following, now that you're kind of thinking, because I know, like, I work in content creation and I have to actively turn my brain off because I will be sitting on a beach relaxing and my brain clicks on like, this would be a really great post about the importance of unplugging and relaxing. And I'm fully writing a content post in my head. So how has that impacted the way that you travel or the way that you do these trips?
Yeah, for sure. So it's funny that you say that. So when I'm out and about, like hiking in nature, that's when like my brain's just firing. Like, I have so many different ideas and it's not just like about what I'm going to like post the next day. It's like, you know, what can I do like in the next month or 2 months? Like, how can I like build a business? How can I do all of these things? It's really funny how that works. Like, my brain just happens to be firing in nature. And maybe that's just an effect that, you know, being outdoors has too. For some people, it helps with creativity for sure. But with the creation itself, I don't know. I just kind of find a lot of what other people do too, and then just kind of make it my own to an extent. I wouldn't say that most people are necessarily lifting weights outside, but a lot of people do have, you know, just similar thoughts that I have, with just, you know, the idea of discipline and being the best that you can be, and then just travel too. So I enjoy finding like-minded people who have similar thoughts and then just kind of incorporating it into what I like doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So what is the reaction like when you are in the middle of a hiking trail or at the top of a mountain and you just like whip out a free weight, or, you know, you start doing squats or lunges or burpees? Like, what's the reaction to that?
So best case scenario is that I find a place where there aren't too many people around, so I don't get too many reactions. But I can think of a few different circumstances where I have had some. So over the summertime, I visited Acadia National Park, and that's like a pretty busy one, especially in the summertime, like people everywhere. There was really no chance of me finding a secluded location. So I just remember being on the shoreline with, you know, my free weights and just having like people one stare, take pictures. And then I got a standing ovation for one of the sets I did, which was very nice, but I got the sense of sarcasm just because they probably thought I was crazy. So like I will get those like negative encounters, but at the end of the day, I am, you know, pretty self-aware and able to contain my emotions, and like I'll just back off and just say it is what it is. And also think like most people can't do this anyways. So like, I just have that, you know, swagger too, if you will, to like carry weights outside, hike a few miles and like do a strength training workout.
So I want to talk a little more about that and your mindset on this, because I think that there is this like hate following that people do. Like, I feel like a lot of times when people see people who are successful, or they see people who are specifically successful from posting or sharing their life on social media,
yeah,
what I notice is that there's almost this like really hateful criticism. And to me, I'm like, look, if you're able to just live your life and inspire people and make money from that, like, that's amazing. I think that is awesome. And it is almost... it makes me a little sad, and it's a little mind-boggling just like how many of us, and I would include myself in this because I've definitely been caught up in that, of just, it's almost like because we feel like we would feel guilty for doing something or for living our fullest life, or because we haven't found that internal permission to just enjoy life, we have to shit on others who are enjoying their life. And I'm curious, like, your headspace and how you see that. And I know you mentioned you've encountered some of that. Like, how do you navigate that in a way where you're able to just enjoy your life and not let that criticism get to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the hardest things to overcome. And that's, you know, just getting over the idea of being judged for things that you like to do or who you are. I think we all have that, you know, self-consciousness too, that, you know, you want to fit in to an extent, but I definitely think it's a learned habit and behavior to kind of break that. I mean, some people are very good at it, and they just, you know, happen to have that superpower of not caring at all, which is pretty awesome. But I would say the majority of us don't. So I think just trying to get comfortable, and I would say doing it all the time, definitely helps. And I think the biggest thing for me is like, I'm certainly not like a filmmaker or like expert by any means, or just like that comfortable filming myself. So like, that's been the biggest piece to just like get over. But you also have to have the mindset like to do this. Like, at the end of the day, nobody really cares. Like, they'll judge you for that second. But you'll never see them again. You'll never talk to them. You'll really have no reconciliation of their existence. So if you kind of take that mindset from the outside in, you just have a weight lifted off your shoulders. There's no more burden of that. But again, like, it's not easy to do. It's easier said than done. But I think that's the mentality you have to have for it.
One of the most powerful questions, and I wish I could remember where I heard this so that I could source it and credit it appropriately. But one of the most powerful questions that I was ever asked was, what is the actual consequence of this opinion? Because I grew up like such a good girl, people pleaser, like very religious home. So it wasn't just like pleasing people, like I had to please God. Like yeah, it was, right. It was a lot of pressure. And I really struggled with living my life for the approval of other people, which is challenging because people move targets. Like that is a moving target. And especially the people who are hypercritical, they tend to be hypercritical because they're hypercritical of themselves. And when you have someone who has no idea who they are and they're trying to tell you who to be, like live vicariously through someone else, like that is just a mission that's set up to fail. And it's just going to be frustration on both ends. And I had so much anxiety and I had that question of like, what's the actual consequence? Let's say that this person, whether it's a parent, a boss, a neighbor, a Karen at the grocery store, let's say they have a negative opinion about what I'm wearing, what I'm posting, how I'm living my life. What's the actual consequence? And sometimes it's a real consequence. Like you kind of do need to worry about what your boss thinks about you, you know, if you want to pay your mortgage or your rent or whatever. Yep. And sometimes it's an emotional, like, okay, well, there are consequences to how your parents or your family or a partner, like someone close to you thinks about you. Am I okay with them having this opinion? Like, am I okay with this dynamic? And sometimes it's, I'm never going to see this grocery store lady again. And she's probably a crazy person. Why on earth am I spending mental energy trying to accommodate someone that I know nothing about and I'm never going to see again? But I think too, like a big thing that I struggle with being able to post and put myself out there. Like even when I started this podcast, I literally had people kind of come at me like, well, who do you think you are? It's not like you're this celebrity. Like, why do you think anyone cares like what you think or how you're living your life? And I think that we all know narcissists, like we all know those people in our lives that are super toxic and have to have all the attention. And so it's almost like, well, the risk of being that, I'll just stay away out of the limelight permanently. But then you really think about it and realize like, yes, we like to follow celebrities and famous people, but who's more relatable? Like when you think about who you've really been inspired by and who's really impacted your life, it's not someone in the magazine, even though they're just like us. If you look at the magazines, like it's someone that we know personally. And so how do you get to a place where you are confident in who you are, confident in yourself, where you're able to sort of let other people have the opinions that they have and you're able to shrug it off and kind of say, well, that's fine that you have that opinion, but I know me better than you know me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. And I would say that for me, at least, starting like the self-improvement journey has really helped with that. Because, you know, you spend so much time working on yourself, like doing exactly what you know you should be doing, whether that's, you know, just working out, like eating healthy, getting enough sleep, just doing everything to put yourself on the right path, that to get that criticism. I mean, most of the people don't do that stuff, like look into starting a business or like wanting to do something on their own or, you know, whatever it may be. I think the fact that if you take the initiative to like do all the right things and people still have criticism, like what else are you going to do? And like you said, like it's a lot of extra energy to spend on something that, you know, that consequence isn't going to matter very much. I think, you know, the closer that people are to you, maybe you might consider it a little bit more, but especially from like a stranger looking from the outside in, like it's a lot of extra time to just dwell on something that doesn't really matter. But I would definitely say like, working on yourself is the best thing that you can do because you're going to build that confidence and just like have the successes that you want to have to just back up whatever it is that you're going to be doing. And it's, you know, certainly hard in the beginning because you don't have that success yet or even just a little, you know, glimpse of it. And I think that's where just like the discipline of, you know, identifying what you want is, and then just doing whatever it takes to go for it and get there essentially.
Yeah, 100%. And I think to your earlier point too, like health is such a holistic thing. I know you mentioned being in a very toxic work environment and how health really opened up when you left or were able to leave that environment. And I think that there's something in that about travel as well. I almost feel like for me, like I love traveling as well. I'm a big fan of the solo trip. I've taken more than a couple solo cross country trips. The first one was just accidental. Travel buddy failed, and everyone was just so worried about me, like it's unsafe.
You okay?
Like, I had like this arsenal of weapons in my passenger seat, like and you know, it's actually like once you do it, you realize like it's kind of awesome to travel solo. Like you don't have to accommodate anyone else. Like you don't have to like accommodate anyone's bathroom breaks. You get to listen to the music you want to listen to. If you want to drive slower, faster, like see something, like it's, and you learn a lot about yourself, I feel like, because when you're in those positions where you are making decisions for yourself and not with the influence of someone else, like I feel like other people, we all have the power to pull out different aspects of who we are. Like I'm going to be a slightly different person when I'm around your energy than I am, you know, with my mom or with a neighbor or someone else. Like everyone brings out those different pieces. And when you're by yourself, it's that opportunity to kind of really get to know yourself a little better and maybe even surprise yourself. Like, oh, I didn't know that I would opt for a, you know, a tent over a hotel, or I didn't know that I would opt for this over that. So what has that experience been like as far as traveling? Like, how has that shifted your perspective in regards to your health and your life and just in general?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I would start with the solo piece of it. I think you hit like the nail on the head with a lot of the pieces of that. It's so freeing to an extent where, you know, you just are the decision maker. You are the one that, you know, decides exactly what you're going to do, what you're going to eat, you know, what your plans are. So I've really enjoyed that piece, especially with my travels. Obviously, it's nice to have like friends and family travel with you. But again, that's not always going to be the case, and everybody has different circumstances. I would love to have friends travel with me often, but it's not always the case. I'm pretty lucky to have the circumstances that I do. In terms of, you know, what I've kind of gotten out of the travel, yeah, like you said, you learn a lot about yourself. I mean, a few years ago, like I never really anticipated traveling at all. Like I didn't value it as much as I do today. And I think it's just from doing it. Like, I think you have to have that initial spark to kind of get hooked into it. I guess it's called the travel bug. I think everybody gets it at some point in their lives. I definitely remember traveling to a couple of different national parks, one being Yosemite. And that was just for a family trip. We had family in the Bay Area, and that was, you know, something we did. And I just remember marveling at it. And then I took a friend's trip out to Las Vegas and we visited Death Valley, and that was just otherworldly. So I had some ideas just, you know, sprout, for inspiration just to go out and do it. Even if it meant like not having a companion by my side to go out and do these things. Like at that point I decided I wanted to pursue a mission and essentially a life goal. And I've just gotten so much out of it doing the solo piece of it, learning what, you know, what and who exactly that I am. Learned that I'm quite the introvert. I get charged up just being by myself and doing things by myself. And, you know, what it actually is that I want to get out of life, which is the travel piece of things, to take care of myself, be as healthy as I can, and, you know, just continue to do both of those things for as long as I can.
Awesome. I am curious for you, because I know like solo travel is something I think a lot of people struggle with, because I think especially in today's world, there's a lot of loneliness, especially as you get older, you get out of the college years. Sure. I feel like if you haven't locked it down, like you haven't locked down your people by the time you're 22, it just becomes more difficult. And I feel like, you know, to your point, you're watching people around you who are getting married and having kids, or, you know, have different family dynamics. And it can feel a lot of times for, I think, more people than we realize. I think we look around and we see everyone else like surrounded by people and kind of moving forward with their life, air quote, moving forward, because that's what we think the timeline is supposed to be.
Right.
And I feel like for many of us, it's tough and we never end up meeting people because we're all sitting at home, kind of scrolling through, watching other people with their people rather than actually being out, because it can be awkward to be out by yourself. Like, it can be awkward to go out to a restaurant or to just in public. And how do you strike up a conversation with a stranger? Like, how do you do that? And so how do you cope with those feelings, and what inspires you to sort of live your life, take the trip, whether or not someone is there with you? Because I think that's something that for many people, like, if we just wait for someone to be available, we'll wait our whole lives on the couch and never do anything. And so I think that there is that need to, you have to be able to go do the thing you want to do, even if it's by yourself. But also sometimes that does push us to come face to face with some of those insecurities or fears of loneliness or fears of, well, what if I never meet someone? What if I have to travel alone forever? And, right, you know, it gets in that little panic mindset. So how do you cope through that?
Yeah. So I can say this. So for some context, the first job I actually had out of school was for my fraternity, which is interesting. It's very unorthodox, but the whole idea of the role was to travel around to different universities and consult different chapters. So I kind of had that experience in my back pocket already of just, you know, being on the road, traveling on my own, going out to eat by myself, you know, going to the movies by myself. Like, I've had those experiences before. Not to say that, you know, you're going to get super okay with it ever. I think it's just something you kind of put up with to an extent. But for me, the solo travel and being okay with it, I think the biggest thing is just to keep yourself busy. If you are going to, like, go to these places and do these things, and you don't necessarily have, like, an idea or an itinerary of what it is you're going to be doing, if you're just, like, sitting in a hotel room, like, doesn't matter where you are, if you're just sitting by yourself alone, you're not necessarily going to be happy, even if you're in, you know, luxury or paradise. You have to keep yourself busy. And for me, it's been nice, like, this little project I've started, like, I'm always doing something with it. Like, I'm either, you know, out doing whatever it is that I do, lifting weights, hiking up mountains, or if I'm back home for the evening, like, I'm working on it, like, I'm editing videos, like, I'm never really taking off time from it. And it's nice just because, like, it's something that I like to do too. But I think if, you know, you're somebody considering solo travel, you have to just keep in mind, like, you have to be doing things, like, on your trip. So it doesn't necessarily matter where you are, or where you go, you just, you know, have to make sure you're doing something that you like to do above anything else too.
Yeah, definitely. Have you ever experienced any sort of culture shock or unanticipated challenge in any of your travels?
Yeah, I'd say culture shock. I've primarily traveled in the US, so I haven't had too many international experiences. I mean, I could certainly get into a couple that I had in Italy, just from a cultural standpoint, but in terms of something where I've just been uncomfortable. Most of my travels revolve around the outdoors. So I am constantly just being outside and exploring new terrain. So I can think of a few times, like, where I've just been completely lost out on a hike, and you're limited in cell service, and, you know, you don't really have a plan on how to get out of a sticky situation. So it's always kind of funny. I catch myself laughing at myself in those situations where it's just like, what am I doing? Like, how did I let myself get to this point in time? I'm here today, so I've clearly figured everything out. But there's times, like, when you're out in the woods where it's just like, man, I really screwed up here. And I'm not like the biggest outdoorsman either. Like, I may come across as that. I'm certainly not like a survivalist. So if I have ever gotten to, like, a really sticky situation, it could be, you know, quite the shock for me.
Yeah, I like that you're able to laugh about it. I immediately go to what the newspaper headline is going to say when they find my body. Like idiot solo traveler wearing yoga pants gets lost in the middle of the mountain. And then I think about what my parents are going to say and how they're going to be like, well, that's we told her not to go off the mountain by herself.
Yeah, I get that pretty frequently with the being by yourself in the wilderness from my parents are like,
yeah. How does your family feel about your, like your lifestyle and all of your different adventures? What are their thoughts?
So I think they were a little iffy at first. They were like, you sure you know what you're doing? And I'm like, no, but I'm going to go do it anyways. But like over the last couple of years, I think they've seen like just the sheer passion I have for it. And they're my parents. They're going to support me in anything that I do. And I'm lucky to have those type of parents that will, you know, just always welcome me back no matter what I do with open arms. So yeah, when I do go off by myself and, you know, the great outdoors, like obviously they're going to be worrying and, you know, being super concerned. But I think they, again, realize that I'm super passionate about it and have a decent head on my shoulders. Like I've got a pretty decent job where I'm able to like support all of this stuff and, you know, keep everything intact. And yeah, just, it makes me happy. So at the end of the day, they're just going to, you know, support, you know, my feelings of being happy.
That's great. That's such a blessing to have. So one of the things I think that also holds a lot of people back is just, I think that the thought of travel feels so expensive and unattainable, and it can be, but also I have taken cross-country trips where it's actually fairly affordable. You just kind of make some nips and tucks in your budget for
exactly.
So I'm curious, like, how do you finance your trips and like, how did you get started with that? And how would you advise someone who maybe is looking to get started and has no idea like what expenses involved or how to go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely say like, be okay to, you know, lose or spend more than what you had originally anticipated on. Like things aren't always going to go smoothly, especially if you're just starting out and like planning a trip. Like there's always going to be a hidden expense somewhere. So I think there's definitely a point where that you can get to like feel okay about just like taking a little bit of risk. Like obviously there's going to be a risk with, you know, anything like that that you do, but in terms of the strategy I've taken over the last couple of years, like Airbnbs are great. The longer you stay at them, the cheaper they are. And it really hasn't been too much more than if you were just to like pay rent somewhere. So like you can definitely work things out and justify it, like if you have that mentality behind it. And like you said too, like there are other options. Like maybe you are like huge into camping, like camping's super cheap. And if you're an outdoorsman, that's a great way to go. Stay with friends if you have friends scattered throughout the country. Yeah, there are definitely little things that you can like look into and take into consideration when you are traveling. I mean, like rewards credit cards, like if you wanted to go the flight routes, like there's quite a few that are, you know, super beneficial for that to get some free flights. So like, yeah, I think it just takes a little bit of time and research. But at the end of the day, if it's something that, you know, you want to do, you're going to find a way to do it. Regardless of, you know, the spend that it might be.
Yeah. I think that research piece is really pivotal. That was something that for me, like I am a pretty frugal, cheap traveler. But one place I do not cheap out on is where I sleep at night, because that's so important to me to get good sleep.
That's fair.
and also I'm aware that unfortunate as it is, there are just some different realities in the world for a single woman traveling. And so that is always in the forefront of my mind of, you know, I have guy friends where they can stay at a sketchy Motel 6 and not even think twice about it. And I do have to think twice. And so I think doing that research has been really helpful, because there's been places like, you know, when I was in Medora, North Dakota, there's literally like a one city block that you can go in Medora. Yeah. That's all there is. And it's all travelers and it's like, it's pretty safe. Nothing's going to happen in Medora. So wish I would have done more research because totally could have stayed at the cheap motel across the street. I think it would have been way more fun. I would have met cooler people. But then there's other places, you know, like Cleveland, no disrespect to Cleveland, but like, I was glad I spent a little extra money to be somewhere slightly nicer. So doing that research, I think, is definitely important. What is your favorite workout when you're away?
Like when I'm outside or like when
when you're out, you're traveling, you don't have, I mean, I'm assuming, I don't know how we, maybe we'll start with that question. What do you travel with? Do you bring like a full like arsenal of workout equipment or like, what do you travel with?
Yeah. So that's a good question. I will say I'm pretty bare bones at the moment. Like it's a lot of work to like try and like take those things, like at least the dumbbells that I have, to, you know, hiking destinations. So I guess the equipment that I have, so I have a set of dumbbells that they go up to like 35 pounds, and then a set of resistance bands, which those are kind of the ones I lean towards for the more intensive hikes, or if I need to get somewhere a little bit more remote, that's the way I'm going to go. But in terms of just like the travels too, like going back to the research, like I will tend to pick locations that have gym access within driving distance. So like, I think that's one of the most fun things I do too. Like I love, you know, going to new gyms and like using their equipment. And it's just something I like so much that I'm always going to just make a point to look into it. Again, like there are certainly some remote locations where that's just not feasible. Like certainly places in Utah I've been and Oregon have been pretty remote. Like, you know, there's places where there aren't going to be gyms. So like doing the resistance bands and like the dumbbells and even just like push-ups or like squats, things that you can do to get your strength training fix, it's going to be, you know, beneficial. And it's something that I'm always just going to make a habit of doing.
So I have a two-part question for you. I'm going to put you a little bit on the spot. So when you're in these beautiful locations doing these workouts, are you doing like a full 45-minute HIIT workout, or are you doing like a couple push-ups for the Insta and then saving the bigger part of the workout for when you get back to the gym?
Yeah. So I will do, so I get a lot of hate for this and criticism. Like I only show like dumbbell curls and like lateral raises and push-ups and things. I don't do those in the gym. So I can do them like out there. So like a lot of my accessory movements or isolation movements are going to be like outside. And I'll save my compound lifts for the gym. So like I can make them pretty intense. Like my resistance bands, they can go up to 90 pounds. So like I can get some pretty good resistance and weight with those. And I'll bang them out pretty quick. Like usually I'll do like 20 to 30 minutes. And I'll try and be like considerate of people too. Like if it is a place where there are people, like I'm not going to be right in front of the best picture location.
Just, like, so like squatting through the people, like, excuse me, pardon me.
Yeah, sorry. I got to go to get my workout.
Everybody to the left, everybody to the right.
Yeah. So like, I mean, that's, I try and be respectful on that front, but usually I try and keep them pretty quick because it's also like at the end of hiking up uphill for 6 miles. So like it's,
yeah, so
that's a lot in a day.
That's the second part of my question. How do you like pace yourself? Because you're in new places. I kind of understand like if you are in a familiar trail and you know, okay, this is going to take me 2 hours. It's this steepness. It's, you kind of know. But if you're somewhere new, like you have no idea what's coming. So what happens if you like burn yourself out doing all these squats across the ledge and then you're like, well, shoot, this is a much longer path back than I thought. And my legs are jelly. Like, how do you pace yourself when you're on new trails?
Yeah. I kind of do this to myself. So like my training regimen is fairly similar every single week. So like, I'll do like a push pull leg split that starts on Sunday. So the way it works out, I'll do legs on Friday and I like to hike on the weekends. So like, I'm already at a loss there. Like I'll be super sore the next day. So I tend to cramp up a little bit if the hike is very, very difficult, but AllTrails is a pretty good tool. Like sometimes it's not that great, but it does give me a pretty good idea to like map out what it is that I'm going to be doing. So like, if I'm not feeling it that day and I've got like a 12-mile hike planned, maybe I cut it a little bit shorter. So like it definitely takes the planning and the research beforehand. And I can give you some insights on the dumbbells too. Like I won't take those on a 10-mile hike. I just can't hold on to them for that long. Yeah. The furthest I've gone with those have probably been like 4.5-5 miles round trip, which still, that's still pretty far. Just like hang on to them. But like, I'm not doing 20 miles in a day with those. That would be impressive. I would be just very impressed with anybody who's able to hold on to those and keep their grip strength during that time.
So which of all of your trips has most kicked your butt?
And so the start of my last trip. So I did the Pacific Northwest over the last couple of months or so. So my friends and I had actually planned out a trip in the beginning of that to the Grand Tetons. It was a backpacking trip. We were going to hike around the entirety of the park. So I think it was like a 40-mile loop or something. None of us were like, you know, super into like backpacking or like super outdoorsy. So like, you know, that was a new experience for us. We were all pretty full of ourselves because we're all in decent shape. But since we were new to the whole backpacking thing, we overpacked. So our packs were probably like 50 pounds. And I just remember getting out of the car, loading up our gear and just having it be pretty quiet for the first mile of the hike, because I don't think we knew what we signed up for. So it was quite the realization to get to like mile 16, day one, and just be in so much pain. So that one definitely beat us up pretty good, but we did it. We did 40 miles in 3 days, and it was just a miraculous experience that we made it through. And I mean, I think we developed a bond that, you know, we wouldn't have had otherwise to do something like that, just to be out in bear country in the backwoods and just, you know, do that distance in full.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think for me, the one that definitely kicked my butt was trying to do a 14er in Colorado. And
the air's so thin too.
There's no air there. I don't know how Colorado breathe. There's just no air. There's no oxygen. I'm convinced that there's none in the state. And it's just all they get is like the surplus breeze from surrounding states. And I went with a family member who has a different view on nature than I do. Like he looks at nature as like, this is something to be conquered. This is something that it's me in the mountain and I'm going to take it on. And I look at nature like, this is going to be such a pretty picture for my photo album. Like, this is going to be such a happy place to pull out a journal and just like think happy thoughts about life.
Right.
So we have very different approaches to nature. And when I told him I was doing this cross country trip and I was going to be passing through Colorado, he's like, oh yeah, we'll do this 14er. It's something that's like a big Colorado thing. It'll be so much fun. And when you Google it, like Google's not super helpful because it was like, well, it could be really easy or it could be really difficult. It depends on how fit you are. And so I read that and I'm looking at pictures of little kids. I'm looking at pictures of guys in flip-flops and I'm like, well, like I'm healthy. I hike all the time. Like I'm going to be fine. And you know, my uncle's telling me like, hey, like, you know, are you training? Are you wearing like your rucksack and walking on the incline on the treadmill? And I'm like, no, I'm living my life. I don't have time to go like walk with a rucksack on a treadmill. Like, no, I'm just going to go like enjoy a nice, beautiful hike in Colorado. And I couldn't even breathe like getting out of the car at the base of the mountain. I couldn't catch my breath because you're already like, I don't know.
How high were you?
I think it started around 11,000.
Like started 11 and then you were only going.
Yeah. So we woke up at like 3:30 in the morning and drove, I don't know how long, cause I was not fully awake. So that was half of like, I do not like being woken up earlier than I need to be woken up. That was just not the right way to start a hike. And so we're at this mountain. It's like pitch black. The sun hasn't even come up yet. It's freaking cold. I'm like, I don't want to hike with like all these layers because the sun is going to come up and then I'm going to be hot and I'm going to have all these jackets that I have to carry. And I made it to about 13,000. And I had this like, I don't know, existential crisis of like, I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to like, I want to see this through, but I have another half of country that I need to like navigate through, and I can't shift on my timeline. And I am about to be really sick because I was getting severe altitude sickness. And so I had to quit at 13,000, and like, he kept going, and I hiked back down and sat in the car for like another, I don't know, like 2.5 hours while he finished. And what was crazy is that whole hike is only like a couple miles. It's only like a 2.5 mile hike. It's just like straight.
You're just so out of breath. Yeah.
No air. And so yeah, that is something like, how do you prepare for that? I mean, I think Colorado is probably the most extreme of anywhere, but you know, I've also hiked in Virginia where that humidity is like, you can chew on it. It's so thick if you're there in the summer. So how do you kind of pre-plan to understand the geography of a new place? Because I think that completely changes the dynamic of a workout or being outside.
Yeah. Definitely. Like you said, the thin air has probably been the most difficult experiences that I had, like in that Wyoming hike. I mean, we were around 11,000, 10,000 the entire time. And like any hill you have to go up to, you're just dying. So to get over the passes with, you know, 30, 40 pounds of gear on your back is always the biggest challenge. I'm not huge into like running or cardio or anything like that, but I do incorporate some into my training. So like, I'll just do like the stair stepper for 30 minutes after my workouts each day. So like, I have some cardio capabilities, but in terms of the terrain, I've found that like the ones where you are like on all fours, like where you actually like have to climb, are the most difficult, especially if you have a backpack on. I can remember there was one hike I did in Arizona. It was called the Flatiron in Lost Dutchman State Park, I believe. So one of those ones where I checked all trails, like, oh, it's like 5 miles round trip. I must have missed the elevation gain because I think it was close to 3,000, and like 2 miles up for like 3,000 feet of elevation gain is a lot. So a lot of it was like, you know, just climbing up. So I was not prepared for that. I had hit trained legs the day before, so I was, you know, feeling that, and it wasn't well marked either. So like, I got to a point so far up and it wasn't part of the trail. So I had to like go back down like a mile and then like go back up again, like the whole climbing thing. So like, there's some things you just like can't prepare for. Like, you just don't know. But you still just have to like do as much research as you can to know what you're signing up for. But all trails, like Google, like sometimes they lie. So you just have to be prepared for the worst.
Yeah. So how did, like, what's your process of deciding when it's time to call it quits and when it's time to push through and persevere? Because I think that's something that we all struggle with in any capacity. I think that it's that kind of internal struggle of, well, I don't want to be a quitter. I want to push through. But also, you got to think about like your life and longevity and the other things that you have to be able to show up for. So how do you navigate that in your head of sort of determining that self-pace of what's realistic, what is challenging and pushing you, but also like, when does it become not intelligent to keep going?
Yes. I would definitely say, if you ever feel like it's like fight or flight on a hike, it's probably not where you want to be. And it would probably be beneficial to maybe make your descent. I would also say, like, if you're hiking in the dark, that's just not something I enjoy doing. So like, if you're like up super early, or if you're approaching sunset, like, and you're still going up, like, chances are, at least for me, I would probably turn around. If you're familiar with the terrain, or if it's more so just like you need to push yourself physically, that's all mindset. I think you can tackle like a physical challenge, but like, once it gets to the point where, you know, it's just not safe, or you just know you could potentially lose your life, you know, that's a good stopping point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to end on just kind of a note of advice for anyone who wants to start or wants to travel, wants to be healthy. They're listening to this and they just have no idea where to start. What would you tell that person?
Mm-hmm. I can give so both ends. So I'll start with the health piece. I give this advice whenever everybody asks me, like, what exactly should I be doing or how should I start? I think the biggest thing is finding something that you like. And that could be either, you know, your fitness regimen, like your training routine. Like if you're just absolutely despising your routine, like you're not going to stick with it. And I think the key to any successful individual who enjoys, you know, training in any sort, it's consistency. So you're going to be consistent with something you like doing. And same with food. And that's a different conversation as well. But nobody's perfect. You're not going to just like eat chicken, rice, and a vegetable every single meal. Like that's not real. I think you have to just kind of experiment and find the foods that you like. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like, quote unquote, the healthiest of things ever. Like you can find things that are going to be good for you that also taste good. So like different conversation for another time. But the travel piece, you just kind of got to go for it at the end of the day. There's really no set advice. I think it's more mental than anything else. You know, if you're waiting on somebody, like you're probably just going to be waiting the rest of your life. It's indefinite. You have no idea like what your future may hold. So if you do have an opportunity where, you know, you can go out and travel, I think you should just do it. Like, I think taking the jump and taking a risk would just be way more beneficial to you, even if, you know, it ends up not being the best of experiences. It'd be better to have a bad experience than look back like in the next couple of years and say like, I had that opportunity and I missed it. So you kind of choose your regret, as I like to say, for getting going with a travel experience or anything health related too.
Yeah, 100%. I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing your time and your stories. It was so fun talking to you. I am already mentally planning the next trip that I want to take. So thank you so much. For anyone listening, would love to hear your thoughts or your favorite workouts and trips. Shoot us an email at embracetheish@gmail.com or hang out with us online at successfulish.com or Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn at embracetheish.
Success and failure, none of the opposite ends. Curveball hits, gotta know where to bend. The attitude will affect destination. And if you determine when you're gonna make it. Live between successes makes life rich. Living every moment, successful-ish. Live between successes makes life rich. Living every moment, successful-ish. Hey,
successful-ish. Another day, another task, think fast with a whole nother mission complete. I'm successful-ish. Pick up the weight, press on, and act on the visions I see. I'm successful-ish. Sit back and bask in the glory of all the goals I achieve. Successful-ish. Lose a stack, get it back, reinvest, hope with, then I roll up my sleeve. I'm successful-ish. Another day, another task, think fast with a whole nother mission complete. Successful-ish. Pick up the weight, press on, and act on the visions I see. I'm successful-ish. Sit back and bask in the glory of all the goals I achieve. Successful-ish. Lose a stack, get it back, reinvest, hope with, then I roll up my sleeve.
Hey. All this weight on my arms need both flex. In this race, put behind, need more steps. Had to swear the learning curve, hope I don't crash. Hit your nerves when reserves got low cash. When I fail, realize that it won't last. You made it through in the past, just look back. Successful-ish, you can see how it contrasts. Failures and wins, use the past and I bounce back.
You can never win if you never go and do it. Failure is a hard road, rarely ever cruising. Embracing all my wins with a handful of losing. Expect the drought season when the plan's going fluent. I can never really fail, it's all how you view it. It's all a lesson, just depends how you use it. Gather all the data and keep it all exclusive. Never ending journey and the growth is therapeutic. My identity is not in what you see, I am the better me. Mistakes others make, I see. Have been teaching me. Compare yourself to others is an insult to tragedy. We were made unique, gotta use a gift collectively. Broke down my goals and a few look toesome. Can't take them back cause you already spoke them. Easily regressive, you don't stay focused. Focus, live between success and emotion.
Successful. Another day, another task, think fast with a whole nother mission complete. I'm successful-ish. Pick up the weight, press on, and act on the visions I see. I'm successful-ish. Sit back and bask in the glory of all the goals I achieve.
Successful-ish.
Lose a stack, get it back, reinvest, hope with, then I roll up my sleeve.
I'm successful-ish.
Another day, another task, think fast with a whole nother mission complete.
Successful-ish.
Pick up the weight, press on, and act on the visions I see.
I'm successful-ish.
Sit back and bask in the glory of all the goals I achieve.
Successful-ish.
Lose a stack, get it back, reinvest, hope with, then I roll up my sleeve.